Hey, how are you? I missed you. Not really. But thanks for coming back, and let's have some fun today. I'm going to be my witty, funny, satirical self in just a few minutes, but first, I just want to clear something up. I didn't vote for Donald Trump. I'm proud of it. But I have been able to, because now that I know him from watching him on TV and him shoving his face into my private life continually, I have diagnosed him. Now, I'm no Dr. Phil, thank God, but I have diagnosed him to the point where it's quite obvious to everybody. I think even if you politically support him because he's doing the stuff you wanted, like, you know, putting conservative judges on the Supreme Court and, you know, this thing with gay rights and abortions and all that kind of stuff, you know, immigration, all the kind of stuff, and, you know, that everybody should have a gun and all that. Even if you believe all of that stuff, you've got to say to yourself, my God, but he's a sick individual. I just wish he'd shut the hell up. You got to think that. If you don't, then you probably have some problems as well. Here is my psychological outline of this quote-unquote man. And notice how I'm right here. Trump walks into every situation with an inert need to destroy things. He's an angry man who loves to destroy things, but not for destruction purposes. In other words, if he doesn't have his name on it, he will destroy it. This goes back to the real estate days. Every building must be a Trump building. Now it's the same. Every country must have Trump influence. If Trump walks into a situation that was created by somebody else, or something that existed before he got there, he will walk into the room and destroy the situation and say, I am now in charge. This is what I think, with no idea of how to replace the situation. His response to destroying something, and I said, well, what are you going to do to replace what you've just destroyed? We'll see what happens. We'll come up with something. That's not a plan. We'll see what happens. We'll come up with something. It's not a plan. If Obama did anything, Trump will seek to destroy it. If NATO has done anything before Trump became president, Trump will seek to alter it. Trump wants to be in the center of attention in every situation that he walks into. He said something a few days ago that he said before that really, really, I question whether he is indeed the Antichrist, which I believe he may be. He stands in front of a pulpit in front of everybody at a press conference. They say to him, well, Mr. Trump, Mr. President, whatever the hell you call yourself, you've said at one point you wanted to destroy NATO, and at another point you said NATO is stronger than ever. Trump responded this way, and I can't believe he actually said this. This is the egotist that he is. He says, NATO is stronger than ever since I walked in here a few days ago and started taking care of business. That's odd. So you're taking credit for NATO now because you walked into the room. But he went a step further. And he said, and nobody questioned him, but he said, I am the most stable man you will ever meet. I am a stable genius. You are looking at a stable genius. So apparently the reporter questioned Trump's going back and forth on the NATO policy comments, and Trump's response is, I'm a stable genius. What if someone walked up to you and said, "Hello, my name is Bob. I am the most handsome man in the world. Nobody looks better than I do. And I have looked this good since the day I was born. I am the most handsome man ever created by God. You should be thankful that you're even able to look at me." That's what Trump says in regards to his abilities. He's a stable genius. If that's a genius, then I am Einstein and I am God, because that man is disgusting. That man has psychological problems, of which the delusionments and the psychosis is a list probably 100 miles deep. I'm just saying. Okay, let's get on with the show, just so we know where we stand.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Another 2.5 years of this crap.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
I guess the Republican Party wants to call themselves the stupid party. That's what a lot of people do call them. They someday will slip down this vortex to hell with your little president there. Go for it, you know, go for it. Biggest embarrassment is this incredible humanitarian debacle with separating the immigrant mothers and fathers from their children, sending the children to separate locations, over 2,000 of them, and now they're not able to reconnect the parents with the children, because they didn't come up with a system when they were doing it to identify who was who. I mean, it is just, it's almost a clown act. It is a clown act. Whose child is this? This mother, let's match up the mother to the child. Do we know who's a child to this mother? Anybody? It's not funny. They control crowds better at a deli. At least you get a number. Number 27? Couldn't they tag the children, like put a little ticket on their belt loop or something, or on their pants? Like, yeah, your child number 27, you belong to parent number 27, we'll match you up someday. 27 here, 27 there, parent, child, you're together again. They didn't even have a system, not even a deli-style ticket. Nothing. Nobody knows who goes to who. And these families are still separated to this day, nearly a month later. And here's the interesting part. The senators and the representatives and the media are not allowed into these holding camps where the children are. You're not allowed in. You're not allowed in. Is the situation so horribly drastic and awful that you can't allow anybody in to see these people? No images? All of the images that you see on television and in newspapers of these immigrant mothers and children being separated are all pictures that were released by the administration, by the White House. They're controlling the pictures that you see. This is not a free world here anymore, ladies and gentlemen. This is not a free country. We are only allowed to see certain things. This is not top secret stuff going on. No one's allowed to see the conditions of where these children are being held, and there are many locations where they are being held, in prison cage-like facilities. But the public is not allowed to see that. Not allowed? Is this top secret? What the hell's going on? This is the biggest humanitarian embarrassment that I can think of in our modern day. And it's our own government doing it. It's the Trump administration that decided to actually prosecute these people and to hold them and separate the children. Now, the law was on the books through the Obama administration. The Obama administration actually did deport many people that were trying to sneak over the border, but they deported the entire family. They didn't separate them. They didn't hold them. They turned them around, children and parent together, and said, go back. You can't do this. You're doing it wrong. Go back. Obama did a lot of that. It was Trump and the Trump administration that decided to step it up and to separate the children from the parents. That had not been done before. So it's all on you, Don. It was your decision to step it up and to take action on it. Yeah, the laws are on the books with Obama, but he chose not to execute them to their entirety. Trump did. It was a directive from Trump to do it. Mr. Stable Genius. Again, Trump doing anything he can to change things up from the way they used to be, to put the Trump stamp on it. If somebody else did it, it's not good. Don has to make sure he's in the center of attention and that he did it. As I said previously to the opening theme, it's an embarrassment. It's an embarrassment. And it's sad. And it's concerning, and I don't think enough people are concerned about this. I think we all need to band together, hold hands, and say, this is like crap, and we know it. Let's stand up. You can't let one guy standing in the White House be the dictator, be the king, and just sit there and go, whatever you say, Don, you're the stable genius, whatever you say. All right, I'm getting out of hand. I'm not supposed to be doing this. I'm supposed to be doing a comedy show. So let's get funny.
You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show, the podcast world's version of painful itching and swelling. You know they sell a cream for that, right? It's over the counter. Works really well. I've had to use it a lot.
Went to a Mexican restaurant a few nights ago. I don't know why. I guess, believe it or not, I walked into the Mexican restaurant and most of the servers were Mexican, and I don't think they were rapists or murderers. There are Mexicans here that aren't rapists and murderers? Apparently. Very nice people. Anyway. So I'm sitting there, and what do you order drink-wise when you walk into a Mexican restaurant? Well, not a glass of water. You order a margarita. That's what they do. That's what they do. So I order it, and they have like 20 different margaritas, and I'm really not even sure what a margarita is. I think it's just an alcoholic beverage in a freaking large glass, in a goblet. I think I love the Mexican people because of their love of alcohol. I mean, they're heavy pourers, and I don't mind that at all. When you order an alcoholic beverage from a Mexican restaurant, chances are you're going to be followed by a cop on the way home. Anyway, so I order them, and he said, "Do you want the house margarita?" I said, "Yeah." "Well, does that mean that you're buying it on the house? Does that mean I don't pay for it?" No. Don't misunderstand. No, house margarita means that this is the one that we make here, and that, you know, it's our own brand and our own thing. It doesn't mean it's on the house for free, you idiot. So I said, "Okay, sure, I'll have the house margarita." And in Mexican restaurants, the margaritas are usually pre-mixed because everybody orders them. As a matter of fact, if you walk into a Mexican restaurant and you don't order something with tequila in it, they will probably think there's something wrong with you. And there probably is. It's a rule. They should have a little sign on the front of the Mexican restaurant. "You can't come in here and have Mexican food unless you have something with tequila in it. Otherwise, go to Arby's or something. They've got the meats." Anyway, so I'm sitting there, and I get in my house margarita, and this is where the wonderment starts to fly for me. It's a gigantic goblet. I could stick my whole face, my whole head in the glass, and it would still fit. And my head is quite large. And apparently, what they did was they put salt on the rim, which is margarita style stuff. They put salt around the rim so that when you drink it, you get a little bit of that salt and a little bit of that tequila, and you're on your way to some other planet. But here's what throws me off. Salt on the rim, goblet of margarita tequila, but somehow in the center of the glass there floats a large size straw. And my immediate reaction is, follow me now, why do you put a straw in a margarita and also salt around the rim? You can't have it both ways. If you're going, how does the straw soak up the salt around the rim of the margarita? You have to use your freaking lips against the edge of the glass with the salt in order to get the salt margarita effect. Why do you even bother putting a straw in it? I asked this of the Mexican bartender, to which he responded like he didn't speak English. That's the great thing about being from another country. You can always fall back on not understanding what the other person is talking about. Because he didn't have an answer for me. Why do you have a straw in a glass where you have salt around the rim? I don't know what you're saying. I don't understand your language. Okay, because there's no answer, is there? And this is very nice, and I won't say which restaurant it is because I don't know if it's legal that they do this. But if you have a margarita, they will come over to you and ask you how you like the margarita, and you usually say fine. And he will, the bartender, he actually took a little shot glass, filled it with straight tequila, and put it in front of me and said, "This is on the house. You can give it a try." Wow. Free tequila. Now, I don't know if that's legal or not. I don't know if you can just give someone a shot of tequila for the hell of it and still work at the place, but he was doing it to everybody. Apparently, in this restaurant chain, they do that. And let me tell you something, not a bad idea. Because what human being in their right mind, no matter what country they hail from, wouldn't go to a restaurant where, if you sit there long enough, they'll put a shot of tequila right in front of your face and say, go on, it's on the house, just drink it. So, wow, this is something. I must admit that when you leave the establishment, you're a little less cognizant of everything around you than when you walked in. And indeed, if there was a cop or a police officer in the parking lot, I would not really be able to get my car and drive away necessarily out of paranoia. They'd be able to tag everybody there with a breathalyzer, and I think they'd win like 100% of the time. Excuse me. Have you had anything to drink today? Well, we are outside of a Mexican restaurant, so how can I say no? I mean, yeah. What did you have? A lot of tequila. All right, get in the car. Get in the back of the car. Put your hands behind your back. I'm not arresting you. I'm just detaining you. That's always fun, huh? You're handcuffed. As I understand, I watch this on TV. I watch a show on TV called Live PD. It's on the Arts and Entertainment Network, the A&E Network. And it's every Friday and Saturday night for 3 hours. They show you live these police officers from across the country arresting people. And most of them are people that have had something to drink. It's still a federal offense to have marijuana on you. I think it's a tenth of an ounce, or I don't know the exact amount, but if you have anything over anything, they can arrest you. And if they come to your car window and you roll the window down and the officer smells marijuana, they'll get you out of the car and they'll check you out and make sure that there's no more marijuana than you should have, which is like really anything at all. So I watch this show because I need to keep up on what's happening. Yeah, I need to be up on things. So what better than to watch a live police officer thing? My lovely female person here that I live with, everything that I watch, she finds to be wrong. She doesn't like anything that I watch whatsoever. All the things I watch on TV, she says, "How can you watch that? How can you watch that? I'm not watching that. I'm not. I hate that. How can you watch that?" Wow. Okay. All right. Apparently, we have a difference of opinion here, but we still have a wonderful relationship. It has nothing to do with the relationship, but. That does ring in my mind day and night. How can you watch that? How can you watch that stuff? How can you watch that? How can you watch that? Now, if I said that to her, if she was watching one of her shows, most of which I don't really care for, if I ever dare said to her, how can you watch that with a mocking kind of voice, I would be thrown to the wolves. We have wolves... just in case I do something wrong, and they would devour me. That's the rule here. And see, the man is not the dominant sex. No, the woman is. The woman is. For that reason. You can say anything you want to a man, and he'll just has to shrug it off. If a man says anything to a woman... there are incredible consequences. Unless you're Donald Trump, then you can get away with anything.
Gentlemen, have you ever been in the mood for a nice knish or maybe bagel and a schmear, but you're also in the mood for some exotic dancing? You can't find those in the same place. Until now. I'm Moishe Kaufman, inviting you to come visit us at Moishe's Knish and Strippers, the area's first genuine kosher deli and titty bar. Come in and rock out with your locks out and check out our dancers. These girls are so nice, you'll plots, and they're all certified kosher. Maybe not the kind of girl you bring home to mother, but once you see Delia fold a dollar bill without using her hands, you won't care what mom thinks. Look, Bubby, you're in a strip club. That alone is enough to kill her. so live a little. Every Thursday, don't miss our buns and brisket buffet from noon to 6. Moishe's Knish and Strippers is closed on the Sabbath. Hey, we might be a little unorthodox, but we're not heathens.
Hello.
Good morning, Ron. Hello.
Hi. Pleasure.
Good morning, Ron.
Hello.
Happy World Giraffe Day.
Yes, I was going to say the same to you, but you beat me to it. You win. Karen Gross and Mark Wine join us now. This is a fascinating book. We're talking about giraffes. Giraffes are, what is it about giraffes where every child and every adult just have this affinity to this animal? What is it?
Mark, why don't you try that one?
Give it a shot, Mark.
Well, first, on a more serious note, we've dedicated the book to animals and habitats around the earth where developed society is encroaching on their nature, on their lives.
Okay.
So we must preserve the animals.
On
a humorous note,
there you go.
Helps education
there you go.
And raise awareness.
Okay. All right. Fine. No, but there's something about giraffes. We're all, when you go to the zoo, for example, which is not necessarily humane, I don't know, everybody is drawn to these creatures. There's something about them. Okay. Now, on the serious note.
So I think it's their smile.
The smile?
I think it's their smile. I think it's that they're the tallest creature.
Yes, that's
it. I think it's that they have spots.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's that they're... feet are the size of a dinner plate.
There you go.
I think it's that when they look at you, their mouth goes a little askew and they stick out this 19-inch purple tongue.
That's what it is.
And I think we can all relate to a creature that's so different, so friendly, so funny, so fun, and even though they're not small and cuddly, somehow... you just want to save these creatures and love these creatures and, you know, learn more about them.
Yeah, now, to Mark's point, I mean, it's a very serious problem about caring for them and you know, the fact that there's, you know, a lower amount of them every day. However, it's important for children, I feel, to have this affinity not only with the giraffe but with all animals. And this kind of helps them from a young age, because this is somewhat of a children's book, although I got to tell you, I enjoyed it, so maybe I'm a child too. But it gives one this affinity with the animal kingdom, which I think is very important.
Well, there is one picture in the book of not just giraffes, but other creatures on the dedication page that we hope can be saved. There's also a teachers and parents guide, so that kids can learn to write jokes about other animals. And so that goes directly to your point, which we can do giraffe jokes and giraffe facts, but you could do them about other creatures that face extinction and really laugh to learn.
Yeah. Give me an example of a joke from the book.
All right. Can we each give you one?
Absolutely.
All right.
Go ahead, Karen.
I'll start. All right, I'll start. I have many favorites, but here's one. What do pirates call a giraffe?
I don't know.
So Ron gets to answer, right?
I don't know.
All right, Mark, what do pirates call a giraffe? What do they call them?
Go ahead. Give us the answer.
A lookout tower.
Okay.
here's another one.
All
it's
right.
Summertime, and kids are jumping in the water in the pool. What did the giraffe say to the lifeguard at the local pool? Why don't you have a deep end in this pool?
So this would engage a child to the subject matter, right?
Yes, and it also allows kids and parents to laugh together, or kids with each other. You can use the book when you're traveling on a long car ride in the summer, or sitting in a restaurant or at the beach or just on the stoop of your apartment and laugh together. Hi, try this one, by the way, which is really apt at the moment.
Okay.
What is a giraffe family's favorite amusement park?
Jurassic Park.
Come on, everybody.
Jurassic Park.
Sure. You got it.
Sure.
Okay. Quite apropos with the movie coming out.
Yes, yes. Timing is everything. So, Mark, let's talk about what you originally were talking about at the top of the interview, and that's the extinction fears for many animals, especially the giraffe. How does this come to be for those that may not understand how an animal becomes, you become concerned about this?
Well, certainly, Karen and I, we work in one of the most challenging environments here in Washington, D.C., where for many people, change, improvement of life, wellness around the globe is important. Mm-hmm. We were walking down the street one day, and I just started telling jokes about giraffes, and Karen said, why don't we write a book? And I said, let's make that relevant. I think we can do it. And we began to learn, tell more jokes, creating. We read, we listened, we observed, and we discovered that there are about 100,000 giraffes only left in the world.
Really?
Their habitats are being encroached upon, and they happen to be a funny and fun-looking animal. Karen, as an educator and leader in that field, said, we can use that to raise people's awareness mm-hmm. about the plight of giraffes in nature mm-hmm. through humor. And what better way to engage people and get people involved and raise children's insights than through humor?
Good. Yeah, well, everything.
That's how we started.
Well, that's why I do this show, through humor. You make points and people start to listen. So what is it about giraffes? It's not like there's no tusks involved. There's no ivory. There's no, we don't eat them. Why in certain cultures, or for other reasons, why are giraffes, not becoming more numerous? Do they not, gather together, so to speak, to have more giraffes? What is it?
So giraffes hail from Africa.
Yeah.
There are actually four subspecies of giraffe. Most people think there's only one kind.
Right.
And there are lots of things that are happening to them. Their habitats are narrowing.
Okay.
Because cities and locations are being built, which is narrowing the pathway where they live.
Right.
The next thing that's happening is that there's, when you narrow their pathway, you narrow their food source.
Okay.
So that's happening. And then they are poached, not like lions for trophies.
Mm-hmm.
They are poached for their skin, which is used to make shoes and buckets.
Oh, I didn't know.
And for their tails, which are used for whips.
Oh.
And what some of the giraffe conservation organizations are trying to do is use plastic, which is not ideal either environmentally, but use plastic buckets and plastic shoes and more flip-flops and plastic whips so that you don't have to kill giraffes
of course.
In order to get the products that you need to live day to day.
Of course not. Now, the book itself is not just a joke book. There are some beautiful photographs, great illustrations, and it is kind of an education into feeling an affinity with giraffes and raising one's awareness to this creature. So it kind of covers everything, doesn't it?
Well,
absolutely. Let me add to this. Yeah. The overall decline in the giraffe population in Africa is about 40%. And to help monitor and protect the giraffes, trackers are using solar power, for example, to place a sensor on the giraffe so that they can be followed and analyzed, and there can be appropriate measures taken if bad things are starting to happen to the giraffe population. Good. In different areas.
Good. Well, that's
something.
And while
we're on bad things,
yes.
One out of every two new giraffes that are born die. Yeah.
Why? Is that the way it is? Is that just the way
it is? Not enough jokes. Not enough humor. Need more humor.
I see.
They have to tell jokes to one another and laugh.
That's what it is, isn't it? Okay. That's all right. Well, you've raised the awareness. Now we're asking people to go out and take a look at the book. Mark Wine, Karen Gross have put this great book together. And where do we find it? And is there a website and stuff?
Sure, there is. The books are a photograph of our giraffe collection. There are 75 jokes in the book, and we have a collection of 75 giraffes. And we're auctioning off the giraffes, not every single one of them, but many of them.
Mm-hmm.
And the proceeds of that go to buy the book for kids who can't afford it,
mm-hmm.
and to the Giraffe Conservation Foundation. We have a website, www.LadyLucy'sQuest.com.
Uh-huh.
But the book is available at Amazon and Barnes and Nobles and zoos and independent bookstores near you.
Fantastic. And it's a series, right? We're going to do a few of these.
Yes. Well, the book is the third in a series of Lady Lucy books,
mm-hmm.
One of which, by the way, is also in Spanish, if there are Spanish-speaking listeners.
Uh-huh.
And we're starting to think that maybe this idea of books with some jokes and facts,
sure.
is really wonderful educationally. So who knows? Maybe the next book will also be a joke book.
It could be about jokes about authors and the declining number of authors in our country. Okay, never mind. Okay.
Yeah, it could be.
And talk show hosts, too.
There's lots of decline. It could be jokes about the lack of civility,
yes.
too.
Oh, that's, yes. That almost, that's really only not that funny anymore. So, unfortunately, yeah, I get it. And you're in Washington, so you actually see it probably. Hey, this has been a lot of fun. Good luck with the book, and thank you so much for your time today.
Our pleasure, and happy World Giraffe Day, and let's save giraffe from
Excellent.
Extinction.
Thank you both. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, there you go. Something you didn't know, or whatever. All right, I'm out of time for today, but here's the good news. The next time a weekday rolls around, I'll be here with a brand new show. Will you be here as well? No? Why not? What's the problem? Did I do something wrong? Did I say something wrong? What did I do? What did I do? What did I do wrong? Now tell me, what did I do? What did I do wrong?